Welcome to Field Days, a weekly audio diary following the day-to-day life of veterinarian Sarah Barlow Russell and farrier Trenton Russell, a married couple living and working in agriculture in Absorkey. I'm Sarah Brown. This week, Sarah ultrasounds mares at Absorka, Tennessee Walking Horses. Dan and Emily Audlin own and operate this 1,200-acre ranch straddling the East Rosebud River and settled by Emily's grandfather in the 1890s. The Audlins breed Tennessee Walkers, gated horses known for their unique four-beat running walk and flashy movement. Their calm disposition, smooth gait, and sure-footedness make them a popular horse here in the West.
People want to ride them in the mountains. They want a smoother ride, and they want to be able to cover a lot of ground. They have, let's say, another gear in their gearbox. It's four beats instead of two. A horse in a trot hits front and rear diagonally on opposite sides at the same time, and it's two beats, and it tends to be hard. All the various gated breeds have some version of a four-beat gait where each foot hits the ground separately. And that takes the shock out. And yet it's fast. These all really move out.
Sarah's here to check three mares. The first, Pearl, was bred last summer, but Dan doesn't think she stayed pregnant. Not uncommon for mares in their mid-teens. Sarah verifies Pearl's open, not pregnant, and begins checking to see if pregnancy is possible this season and when that might be.
I'm judging the tightness or relaxedness of her cervix, and then also the amount of muscle tone there is in her uterus. And then once I get my ultrasound in there, then I look for fluid in the uterus and specific changes that indicate that she's getting close to ovulation. And then we also look at the ovaries and see if there's follicles growing.
Sarah sees no telltale edema and only mid-size follicles. That means the mare is probably still in what's called transition.
Mares don't, in our climate, normally cycle all year. They go into anastrous toward the fall and quit cycling. And as the days get longer, they have a period that we call transition where they can really fool you because they give heat signs but sometimes don't ovulate or wait forever to ovulate. So for a stallion owner, they can drive you nuts. I mean, you mess around and you still don't get the job done. So
Dan plans to put her in a nearby pasture for a week or two, then he'll tease her to detect when she's in estrus. Teasing can be done with a breeding stallion or any male that can elicit the range of telltale behaviors. A winking vulva, a raised tail, squatting, urinating. If she kicks, squeals, moves her ears back, or strikes, she's not into it. Dan walks the next mare past a stallion in his stall before Sarah tests her. It's a pre-tease. They both watch carefully.
The stallions are way better at detecting when a mare's ready to breed than we are. Way. If she's not at all interested, she's probably not close to ovulation. Mares know how to take care of an overeager suitor. They will put him in his place pretty quickly. Nope, doesn't care one bit. She'd just as soon not be in the same barn with the noisy thing. Okay. He, of course, is always ready.
Next is Tess. Sarah will examine her for clues she's ready to breed.
Good girl.
Tess is transitional as well. Now Mona. She is the mother of six or seven spectacular colts, including two of Dan's favorite grays. But he thinks she's taken this year off. He wants Sarah to verify she's not pregnant.
I think there's a baby in here.
This is a surprise.
I'm not going to commit myself until I put the ultrasound in, but I'm not finding an empty uterus, so that's a pretty good sign that there's a baby in there.
Sarah investigates further, and darn it, that baby turns out to be the mare's swollen bladder. Mona is not pregnant and not even close to ovulating. She'll go out into the holding paddock with the others until it's her turn to tease. Next week, Trenton and his apprentice farrier shoe competitive reined cow horses at the Annapro Arena in Absorkey.
Field Days is produced by Sarah Brown and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio, theme music by John Cosell. Additional funding provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. More information on Field Days is available at ypradio.org.